الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وإن يمسسك الله بضر فلا كاشف له إلا هو، وإن يردك بخير فلا راد لفضله، يصيب به من يشاء من عباده، وهو الغفور الرحيم. صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, and the Tabi'i says that I start my day reciting 4 verses, and thereafter I'm not concerned as to what happens. The first ayat is the ayat that I've just recited. If Allah Ta'ala wishes some harm for any person, any calamity, any difficulty, nobody can avert it. And if Allah Ta'ala wishes good for any person, then nobody can turn that away as well. He is the controller. No matter what situation we are, but the sight must be on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By His decree it will happen, by His decree it will not happen. Sometimes it happens that we lose our focus on Allah Ta'ala. And this verse is coming to reinforce our focus on Allah Ta'ala, that He makes it happen. The second verse, مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا. Whatever good Allah Ta'ala grants mankind, then nobody can turn that away. وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ. If Allah Ta'ala holds back anything, then nobody can grant it. He holds it, nobody can grant it. Many a times our mind plays tricks with us. No, he is the spanner in the works. Because of this person, this did not happen. And, you know, my luck was on and someone did some trick on me, therefore it didn't happen. Our sight must be on Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala wills it will happen. In a second it will happen. In a split of a second it will happen. And if he doesn't, then nobody can make it work. I remember some 35 years ago, so there was one friend of mine, and he had his first grandson. So he tells me, you know, it's my first grandson, after pining for this, and this happened ultimately. And now this child is on the life support because he's wealthy, so he had 10 specialists to see to this child. Someone for the brain, someone for the lung, someone for the heart, someone for the kidneys. 10 engaged them. Now he did whatever was humanly possible, everything he did. And after 2 hours, Allah Ta'ala, child is gone. So no matter what you do, if something is decreed, you can't alter that. Can't change the time. إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ فلا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستقدمون. When the time comes and your term has already been served, when that decreed moment has already been terminated, then nobody can shift it this way or the other way. You can't go before your time and nor can you leave after your time. Time is decreed, it must happen. You know, there was one person we used to see when we went in Yasam, you know. So he used to say, he used to be doing the funeral rites, you know, we're talking of now 71, so approximately 50, over 50 years ago, right? Or 50 years ago. So he was appointed from the state to do the last funeral rite of a person that is being hanged. So young at that time, so this type of stories were thrilling for us. So we asked him, what did you go through? He says, sometimes there would be a Muslim, but his iman is not right. When he's about to be hanged and we're doing his funeral rites, asking him, prompting him to recite kalima, then he would say that, you know, I've been reciting the kalima all my life, it didn't do anything for me then, now what can it do for me? You see, sometimes that disbelief and the wrong is concealed within your mind. And it expresses itself at that last hour. If you got faith and iman and trust in Allah Ta'ala within you, then in that last moment this thing is expressed as well. It's not that the last moment he turned away from Islam. No. That what was concealed within him, that thing was expressed at the end. So if he had iman within him, then at that last moment also, that iman is going to be expressed. No matter what that person may be looking like, but it's got deep-rooted iman within his heart, then at that moment, that crucial moment, Allah Ta'ala's special aid comes to his assistance and rescue, and he says the kalima, and then he leaves. Then he says that it's another Muslim, he doesn't look like a pious person, but really he's got deep-rooted love for Allah Ta'ala, who is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we're doing his funeral rites right at the end. So he says, you know what? Now he's talking about the person that is leaving. The person is about to leave now, within perhaps a day or something, and he will just leave the world. So he has been called by the state, the imam is called, Malay imam, to do his last funeral rites. So he would say that I'm doing his funeral rites, I understand this thing. I know I can't shift this moment. Even if they don't hang me now, and Allah Pak decreed it, I would die. They don't bring about death, it is Allah Ta'ala that brings about death. An epidemic or pandemic doesn't bring about death, it is Allah Ta'ala that brings it. Right. He wants it, it'll happen. And if he doesn't want it, nobody can make it happen. I know when I was a child, maybe 9, 10 years of age, and there was a smallpox, everybody was getting it. Whole house got it, everybody got it. Now, chickenpox, yeah, smallpox, chickenpox, whatever pox, one box. So, now I'm feeling so hurt, okay, all the rest of my friends are not going to school, and only me, I have to go to school. So I'm trying to eat from the same plate, I'm trying to wear their clothing, trying to rub my body against them, not putting my shoulder also, give my whole hand, try to hold them, hug them, nothing happening. Right till the very end, that whole chickenpox ended, but nothing happened. So Allah Ta'ala wants it to happen, it will happen. And if He doesn't want it to happen, nobody can make it happen. All the asbab, all the means of death can be there. But Allah Ta'ala says, no, it mustn't happen. We're not going to make it happen. The wrong of this day is that we are manipulated. Our mental minds are manipulated, sometimes by the media, sometimes by other means. And that is why our elders say, "By do talim in the home. Don't let these kuffar, you don't know where they are coming from, whoever they are, specialists or whatever, whether they are Satanists, atheists, whatever, or whether they are gays and all, they are in power today, right? But this is the background. So they've got no concern of Allah Ta'ala, no thought of the akhirat, absolutely no conscience. You know, I was reading one Times magazine some 25 years ago. So I seen that article myself, America, and there was some theory that they took out. And the article read that approximately 100 scientists, they connived on a lie. They made up a story, 100 of them. So how can you trust these people? How can you rely on them? I know some 30 years ago, my one friend came up to me and he says he found an article in the Mercury, right? And that toothpaste has got no benefit at all. Absolutely no benefit. Yes, you must brush your teeth regularly, but toothpaste itself has got no benefit. Alright, he showed me that article, finished. 2-3 days later he came up and he says, no, there's another article to counter that. He said, no, these doctors and specialists and all are saying that you must brush your teeth, because how else are we going to get our children to brush their teeth? Now, I understood what happened. Behind the scenes, what happened, the Lever Brothers or some Colgate or something must have gone and paid these guys, right, at a substantial amount and write up something for us. Otherwise, we'll be out of business. So who pays the piper for the tune? They got no Allah Ta'ala in their lives. They don't have Nabi Sallam in their lives. They don't have truth in their lives. They don't have akhirat in their eyes. Nothing. They don't have these things. So how can their words be so conclusive? And how can you have so much of yaqeen in them? In the meanwhile, I don't say you must defy the law. Right? The law now, it's a law, but we don't have to defy. Right? But by the same token, we don't have to be selective as well. And I ask in this gathering, who of us does not manipulate the law when it comes to uplang? If you say, no, you know what, my halal money now, they can't take everything. Give them something also, and I must take something as well. Something just to save myself, my reputation, and see that I'm conforming to the law, I must do something there. But I must keep a big chunk for myself as well. There we are not conforming with the law, because we know what's going on. And we know this corruption is from which level to which level, all of us know, right? There everybody suddenly says, become lawless. From the top to the bottom, everybody's lawless. But here now, suddenly everybody became so conscious of the law. So this is manipulation. And I say it's satanic manipulation. And you don't know how it happens, you know. See, you know, you've got Qul a'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq and Qul a'udhu bi Rabbin Nas. So one verse there says, Min sharril waswasil khannas. Allah Ta'ala, I ask protection with you from the evil of the whisperer that whispers and goes back. He whispers and withdraws. Right. Now, I was trying to wonder now, you know, the Quran Sharif is very dynamic and very comprehensive and meant for every age. But I was trying to work out now, is there an example that I can relate to? When I saw this, so one person came to the madrasa, let's see how it works. See this, min sharril waswasil khannas. The whisperer that whispers and withdraws. He whispers and he withdraws. So one person came and he said, you know what? I'm addicted to whiskey, wine. Many years ago. So I said, then drop the habit, throw the habit. He said, I'm so addicted now. Then he starts his whole story. He says, I start crying and all that. People become emotional. But they can't drop the habit. He said, now my wife is against me. Our house is in a shambles. Everything is not working for me. I got into this year and I can't just leave the habit. So he starts telling now, you know, how it started. He says, I was a sports fan. You see this media, it hypnotizes you. It mesmerizes you. Right. Some messages are going in your mind. And some tricks are being played. And you don't even realize that there are some tricks that are being played. Right. So he says, I was glued to the sports, right? Sports, and I'm a seed. Cricket, soccer, I'm a seed. You know, nothing could stop me. Now, obviously, these sports events, he's telling me now, they are sponsored, right? By some beer company, whiskey company, Coca-Cola, someone is sponsored, right? So, when it's sponsored by them, then they must do something to promote and market their product as well. So, in the interval, Something will come about beer, whiskey, lager, something. Something will come. But when they're going to have that advert, they will have it. They'll have it. It'll be so captivating. You say, hey, what's a wonderful thing. You know. So they got a young girl, white looking, bright, white, brown hair and all that. Sweet looking now. She's serving that wine. Right? Young boy, ambiance is so beautiful. Now, I ask you these things. Won't they catch your sight? Won't they captivate you? Now, he's a young person, very emotional, right? Loaded with emotions and adrenaline, and he's seeing this thing here. So when he saw this thing here one time, and the second time, and the third time, the tenth time, it was too much for him. And it was too much for him now. And I said, hey, let me just try this one time. There must be something in the cement. See how they look now, and how they're serving, and how this one is pouring. And now this one is receiving it. Look at the MBR and something, you know. So it was so captivating. I said, let me start it off. I'll just have it, just for the fun of it. And I just started it off. I got hooked into it. Now I can't leave this thing here. But if this is media. And our Busuganadin say, by our lives must be ruled by not by the media, by Allah Pak and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by the Sahaba Ikram and the Awliya, they must rule our lives. So their lives will be found in the Talim. See this Hayatul Sahaba, Fazail al-Amal, Fazail al-Sadaqat. These are the kitabs we're supposed to be reading. When we read these things here, eventually our lives and our thinking will be manipulated by Allah Ta'ala. His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba Ikram will begin to think along that lines. And we leave these things here and read these things here one time, and the second time, and the third time, then you're going to get impressed, obviously. I ask you, if someone tells you, you know what, I think you're mentally challenged, you know. Alright. Second person say, but you sure you didn't get yourself checked up, neurosurgeon, or you didn't check. The third person tells you, you know, but I think you need to see a psychiatrist. Eh? Fourth person tells you, you know, but something wrong with you, man. You know, it's not adding up. What you're saying, you're not adding up. Fifth person says something similar. I ask you now, hara manas, man is absolutely right. What happens to you? If 5-6 people tell you the same thing at intervals, one person, and the second person, and the third person, fourth person, fifth person, even the person that is right in his mind, he'll become mad. So the mind plays with you. Allah Pak has created several departments in the mind. Arabic, one department is called Quwwat al-Wahima, imagination, right? And one Quwwat, one capacity that is created in the mind is called Dafiya. Dafiya is to repel. Wahima is to imagine, right? So these are different capacities that Allah has created within the mind. Right? And both all these capacities are good provided they are used correctly. Right? Now if someone is bombarding you with a thought and the thought, you become overwhelmed, right? You become overwhelmed. So what he's playing with? He's playing with your power of imagination. When he played with your power of imagination, and you did not use your quwwat al-dafiya, you did not use the power of defending. You know, you got defense within your mind. You got a defense. But you didn't use the defensive mechanism. And you let this person overwhelm you, right? With his thought. You imagine, until that imagination became a reality. That imagination became a reality. Nowadays in the psychiatric, they use a word for it, right? What they call it? You're imagining something. Hallucination, yeah. Hallucinate. So that's quwwat al-wahima, that's a waham, right? Imagination. So that imagination becomes like a reality. Because you did not use the other force that Allah has created in you, the defense mechanism. You could have repelled that thing. You could have repelled that thing, just diverted through it out. But you didn't use it. You became overwhelmed. When you became overwhelmed, that which was a doubt and imagination became a reality. So that is why they are saying, by in sab baaton ko chhod do, leave all these things here. Allah Pak must rule your life. Must rule your thinking. Your Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must rule your thinking. The Sahaba Ikram must rule your thinking. So that when you come right at the end, then your thinking is right, you are ushered into the presence of Allah Ta'ala. This person wasn't very pious, not very righteous, or I did some wrong. But deep down he had that love for Allah Ta'ala. I don't say now must be sinful and say I got love, no. Because of circumstances he got caught in something or the other. But deep down his heart, his yaqeen wasn't shifted. Nobody could shake his yaqeen. His yaqeen Allah Ta'ala was very, very strong. So when it came to the last, and this imam is doing his funeral rites, so he's saying, you know what, my time has already come. And I would like if they can just hang me on a Friday. Tomorrow is Friday, they must hang me. This is my last wish. And my second wish is this, see, I need to tell my family and my friends that don't worry about this because my time has come. And nobody could have shifted this, right? I am sorry for the past, for the wrong that I have done. And in front of you, I ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness that I really messed it up. I acknowledge my wrong. I ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, right? And I ask you also not to go near wrong and see to that your namaz is done on time. And saying that in a few moments he was gone. He said the La ilaha illallah loudly. He said it. And he said, Imam was saying that this person's face, you could have just seen it. You know, there was a brightness on his face. There was a shine on his face. His yaqeen wasn't altered. See? Now what's going on is this amal, right? But the yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala, that conviction that Allah Ta'ala makes it happen, that has been shaken because of the abundance of the media that we are allowing ourselves to be manipulated with. Whether it's media, whether it is theory, Darwin, this, that, all the junk is in our heart. That heart wasn't meant for that. Ye dil kiske liye tha? Kya? Ye kore kabare ke liye tha? This heart was all for that filth one. All the kufr, the disbelief, all these things here, that our children are being fed in school, was the heart meant for that? The heart was for Allah Ta'ala's love, for the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now we are all these things here in the child's heart, we're pushing into the child's heart. Then how is the pure love of Allah Ta'ala and is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam going to enter the heart? You see, you got a liter of milk, right? Pure milk you've got. And someone just puts 1 teaspoon of pishab in it, urine. Are you going to drink it? You're not going to drink it. Now, it's the pure love of Allah Ta'ala, and you want to mix some urine and dirt and filthy ideas, theories, etc. And you want the love of Allah Ta'ala to remain. How is it going to be possible? You can't tolerate 1 teaspoon of filth. Right? Then how Allah Ta'ala will tolerate that filth to be diluted with His love? Can it happen? Imagine, think to yourself. So Allah Ta'ala wants that heart that is clean. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Come to Allah Ta'ala with the sound and a clean heart. No dilution, no pollution, no contamination. So anyway, we're talking of this verses of the Quran Sharif. This person says, you know, every day I recite these 4 verses and then I'm not bothered. What happens after that? I'm not concerned. His trust in Allah Ta'ala in these verses is so great, so magnificent. So one is Iyam Saskallah, and the second is Mayaftahillah. And the third is Ma min dabbatin fil awdi illa alallahi rizqha. Allah Ta'ala has taken the responsibility of rozi in His hands. You can't provide. The supermarkets are getting loaded and choked, right? They can't also do it. I remember 94 pre-election, same thing was happening. Pre-election, someone putting a big fence before his house. Somebody's going for jihad training. Everything's happening, right? A lot of things are happening. 93, 94. A lot of things are happening. So there was one boy from Port Elizabeth. And he was 92. There was the madrasa. He's going for jihad training. All tell what they're going for. Now after the elections are over, I said, Bashir, how's the training now? He said, No. Everything is stopped now. Everything is on hold. I said, why? So they're waiting for the next elections. So it's just a hype. We go through this hype and we allow ourselves to become victimized. So by become the victim of the love of Allah Ta'ala, of the yaqeen of Allah, Allah Ta'ala makes it happen. And even if you died in that situation with yaqeen, with love of Allah Ta'ala, I say what a good and a beautiful death to die. You died with your heart pulsating with love of Allah Ta'ala. Your heart pulsating with the love of Nabi Sallam. I say what a good death to die. The last verse he says, One is Yamsaskallah, and the second one is Mayaftahillah. The third one is, what is it? Ma min dabbatin fil ardi illa ala Allahi riswa. And the fourth verse that I recite, before I say that, let me tell you one story, a small story there. One person came to the masjid. So he seemed like a stranger. So the Imam Sahib went up to him and asked him, you know what are you doing for a living? I see, you know, koi dhanda to hai nahi, na koi karobar hai, na koi bepar hai, kuch nahi, you don't have a business. What are you doing for a living? So this person, before he could give the answer, he repeated his asar namaz that he read behind the Imam. He just read the namaz behind the Imam. The Imam is asking him, now you know what are you doing for a living? So when the Imam asked him this question, he went and repeated his namaz. So the Imam Sahib said, you know what, yak nashud doshud. I had one question, I got two questions. One is, what are you doing for a living? And one is, why do you have to repeat the namaz? So now this person that was like rag torn, you know, not asking for any assistance, not asking, not hoping, nothing. So he says, you know what, when you ask that question, I began to doubt that do you have iman on the verse, ma min dabbatin fil ardi illa ala Allahi rizqha. Allah Ta'ala has taken the responsibility to provide sustenance. Do you have that yaqeen? I was doubting whether you don't have that yaqeen. Therefore, I went and repeated my asar namaz that I read behind you. See that? So now, this is what's supposed to be mesmerizing us. This is what's supposed to be manipulating us. This is what's supposed to be hypnotizing us, right? Talk about it. Talk about it to our children. Talk about it to our friends, our families, etc. Don't let them talk about it. Like I say, one news is repeated second time, third time, fourth time. I'm saying again that I'm not saying defy the law, right? Don't defy the law. The law, but, and by the same token, I say all of us also, some places where it suits us, we try and make a plan also. Everybody does it. And this corruption is from the top to the bottom. Nobody can say he's exempt, whether he's Zuma or Zumi. Everybody's doing the same thing, right? So, when we can't do it in one place, then why can't we do it for Allah Ta'ala? Why can't you do it for His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Alright, whatever you're saying, we'll try and see what we can do about it, but let us carry on our lives. You see these two surahs, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq and Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas, dynamic surahs. Allama Ibn Qayyim Rahmatullah says, he's a hafiz of hadith. Hafiz of hadith means he knows about over 100,000 hadith. You know the Quran Sharif, how many verses? What? 6,666 verses, right? How much hadith he knows? Over 100,000. That will equivalent to how many Qurans? Just imagine. So that's called a hafiz of hadith. So Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah is a hafiz of hadith. So he says the need of mankind for these verses, this surah, Falak and Nas, is greater than his need for water, air, and basic commodities. Now, we are worried, no, we won't get the basic commodities, we're going to choke the supermarket. But what he's saying, that your need and your dependence for these two surahs is far in excess than your needs for water, air, and your basic commodities. But do you know what these surahs contain? Do you know what it contains? So let me just give a small illustration. My time is already up now. Started just now. Time is finished. So when we say, "Qul A'uzu bi Rabbin Nas," now Allah Ta'ala, in His compassion, in His mercy, when He talks to us, He talks to us at our level. You know, you're speaking to a 10-year-old child, then you won't speak like an 80-year-old, intelligent, wise teacher. You won't speak like that. You'll come to his level because of compassion and love. You'll come to his level and speak to him like that. And Nabi Sam also did the same. Nabi Sam had met up, he went and visited an old man that was ailing, you see. Villager, and he's ailing. So, as a matter of compassion and to bring up his spirits, see Nabi Sam's work was to bring up the spirits, not to break spirits. And I ask you, all of you that are here, that media, is it breaking your spirits? Is it putting you into a depression? Or is it building up your spirits? پھر نہ صرف پھر اس کو سننے کی کیا ضرورت ہوئی آپ کو, when he's breaking your sunnah, why listen to him? Why break the thing? Listen to Allah Pak's words. Taleem in the house, fazail-e sadaqat, fazail-e amal, fazail-e durood sharif. It will bring so much of life in your house. It will bring so much of joy in your house. You know, you read it, read diligently. Sit for zikr sometime, every day. Quran sharif tilawat. You know, what our ancestors used to do. You know, all of them used to do it. You know, some things our elders used to do. And I say the imam must have been so strong that they held on to it and they hold on it very strongly. Morning and evening reading Quran Sharif, Yasin, whatever else, right? Making zikr. And the third thing that was, you know, our elders, or nearly all of them I think, was they were very hospitable, very kind. Mehman, even though money was a little bit tight, they were under constraints, but they'll take it personal that if I invited you and you didn't come, someone new came to the town, you must come and eat, you know. If you don't come, I'll take it personally. So you see that iman that they had. No, this person, I will feed him, Allah will provide. So that was the iman. That I need to show kindness, and Allah will show kindness to me. I need to bring him home. He'll bring the rosier to him. Now this was the iman that we had. Because we were not so much affected by secularism, right? Now he's so affected by secularism, counting, alright, I'll spend like this, how much I'll have, and how much will be left, will be enough for the holidays, can I go with the Umrah, all that. So, we're calculating. And these people, this, the priority was, I must show kindness, love, forgive, overlook, right? Make a plan for this person, try and help him out. That was in their minds. This person is poor, this person is my family, my brother, how can I make a plan for him? Alright, he did me down, whatever it is, this passport, what can I do for my brother now? Now that he's in constraint, must I rejoice? As his misfortune, you must look at it in a different perspective. Whatever it is my father's son, I must try and work out something for him. So that was their mentality. And now today is now everything self-centered. Me. See how our minds are working. So Nabi Sam is going to meet this old man here, villager. And the teaching, the gist of the teaching of Nabi Sam is always to bring the spirit up. And down now, bring the spirit up. So Nabi Sam tells him, La ba'asa tahurun insha'Allah. Right, not a problem. It's just a purification process. What? It's just a process to purify you. How beautiful the word is. It's a purification process. In other words, there may be something stuck in your system. This sickness has come. It will just flush it out. And you'll come right just now. So Nabi Sam is giving him himmat. Bring him up. Morale is picking the morale up, right? You know, really, we need our elders. Elders that have seen their elders, and they understood what is life all about. You know, every step on the path to Jannah, to Akhirat, we need these people here. Now, without these things here, when we do our own things, I was once in Marisburg, you know. So my friend said, oh, this man is not feeling well, let's go and see him. Alright? Jumped in the car to go and see the sick man. So he had an open heart surgery. So now the third person came in to the room to go and see the same old man that is now open heart surgery. So he's telling this old man that is ailing, hey, you know, you better be careful, you know. You better be careful because that man had the open heart surgery and he didn't take care of himself, he died. Now I ask him, but is that the thing to say at that time? So now I'm a doctor. So it's my duty to tell you this type of things. But that's not it. The time that is stipulated for you to die, you will die. Nobody can shift that thing. But why kill the person before the time? Now he's sitting in the bed now. Hey, when Malakul Maut come now, then when he's looking right and left, when Malakul Maut is coming. Now is that the way? That was not the style of Nabi Sam. So no, I'm a doctor. It's my duty to tell you what's going on. But it's not the way to do things. Not the teaching of Nabi Sam. Learn these things. So we see now, we think now they are backwards. No, na'uzubillah. I tell you that old people were not backwards. Maybe they couldn't speak English and express themselves so well, like how you can express. But that doesn't mean English is not a gauge to see intelligence. If a language was a gauge to see intelligence, then that Zulu speaking person could have been also very, very intelligent. If he's speaking fluent Zulu, then he must also be intelligent. No, we're so overwhelmed. So overwhelmed with the language. So anyway, Nabi Sam tells him, you know what? La ba'asa tahurun. Don't you be bothered. It's just a purification process. So he says to Nabi Sam, no. Bal humma tafur. Tuziru al-Sheikh al-Kabir al-Kabur. Al-Qubur. Tuziru al-Sheikh al-Kabir al-Qubur. He says, no, Ya Rasulullah, no. This is a fever. And I'm running a very high fever. And this high fever will take me to the Qabristan. Now, look at the words of Nabi Sassam. And look at the words of this man here. Nabi Sassam is bringing up his morale, giving him some spirit, some himmat, etc. to live and to enjoy at least, even in his last moments, but he's living happily. And what he's doing to himself is self-inflicting. He says, no, this thing is, I'm running a very high fever, this thing is going to take me to the Qabristan. So Nabi Sam then says to him, Fana'am Izan, if you have got this type of a weak opinion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then let it be. See, now you've got opinion, you touch this thing here, germs. This thing will be germs. That thing was anesthetized, that thing, germs. Everything was germs. You know, I felt so upset about this thing. Very, very upset I felt. Our response. See now, look, right, we are in somewhere middle of March, right? But I can remember distinctly, 8 months before this, there was a hype for that LGTB, right? LG, whatever they say, LGB, what? Lesbian and all this guy, all that type of rights. And everybody was talking about it. Learned, educated and not educated, right? Everybody is talking about it. In fact, they were saying, you know, don't isolate them, at least must accommodate them, talk to them, accommodate them. This was the talk, right? At that time, this was the talk. I don't know if you remember, but for 8 months all this was going on. They want to make it like a law, right? Boasting about it, this is a prime minister, and that is his now partner, that's man to man, right? What things were carrying on? And everybody was silent, educated, uneducated, everybody was silent, right? And people were talking, the educated were talking like this, accommodate them, don't look down upon them, don't ostracize them, right? Now, when this thing hit, see, now isolate them, quarantine them, see where your wahi is coming from, where your revelation is coming from, is coming from this place, not coming from Allah Ta'ala. Just now you said, no, accommodate them. Yeah, you're saying accommodate them, don't isolate them, right? And now you're saying isolate them, quarantine them, isolate them. So I say, where is your guidance coming from, direction coming from? From Allah Ta'ala, from His Rasul Paksasam, or from some alien person? Where is it coming from? So this, the importance of these two surahs, A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, Malikin Nas, Ilahin Nas. Now see how beautiful the surahs are. Hazrat Abdullah bin Habib radiallahu anhu, he says, Nabi Sam has instructed, recite these three surahs, Qul Wallah, Qul Azbi Rabbil Falak, Qul Azbi Rabbil Nas, morning and evening three times. Morning three times and evening three times. Sayakfika, it will be sufficient, you don't need anything after that. But do it with that yaqeen, that I got the surahs of Rasulullah Pasan, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. Nothing can touch me. Do it with that yaqeen. And I got this, and I'm reciting it, nothing will happen. But Nabi Sam said this, the world can turn around, but things, nobody can turn, nobody can make things turn. Right? Nobody can make it. If Allah Pak didn't will it, it won't happen. So have that yaqeen. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu asked one of his men, Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, tell me one hadith that you heard directly from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, without any medium, no, without any intermediary, directly that you heard from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Tell me one hadith. He says, I heard this hadith from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that after the first namaz, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would recite the fourth kalima, you know, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in. Learn this small du'as. But the meaning also, learn it. How magnificent. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. He's alone. He's got no partner. To him belongs the entire kingdom. You know, a mosquito can't die without his permission. Nothing can happen. No germ can do anything, nothing can do. He will make it happen. Lahul mulku wa lahul hamd. And when he is the doer, all this beauty that we see around is from him, so all praise is to him. Wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, and he has power over all things. And then this dua he would recite, Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt, wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at, wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi minka al-jadd. Allah Ta'ala, what you give, nobody can stop. And what you stop, nobody can give. And nobody's effort, no matter who, nobody's efforts, nobody's brains, intelligence, efforts, etc. Nothing can work against the decree of Allah Ta'ala, no matter who it is, how educated, how powerful, how mighty, whatever he is. But against the decree of Allah Ta'ala, nobody's effort can do anything. But imagine you reciting it with a little bit of meaning and understanding what you're reciting, what it does to you. Like I just explained, if 10 people comes and tell you that something wrong, you'll get convinced. But now if you're reading these words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after every namaz, La ilaha illallah wahdahu, Allahumma la mani alima a'tayt, wa la mu'ti alima manat, not just as a routine, but with that conviction, what will it do to your mind, what will it do to your heart? So again, coming to the surah, Qul a'udhu bi rabbil nas, malikin nas, right? So I say, Allah talks to us, look at how compassionate, how loving He is, how beautiful our Allah Ta'ala is. So He speaks to us at our understanding, at our level of understanding. See, the first phase in a human being's life is he sees his parents. Where your food comes from? Father, mother, they bring the food, they feed me. So all the nourishment, clothing, the housing, the fooding, etc., all you see, your parents are bringing you up. They are feeding you, they are providing for you, they are bringing you up, right? So that's the first phase of your life. Right? So who does things for you? My mother, my father, they do things for me. So Allah Baksh is alright. You see what? You identify with your parents. Why? Because you see them providing for you. But I am the actual provider. I am the ultimate. So if you identifying with this, then identify with me. Because I am the actual provider. You know, without my decree and without my permission, they can't give you one morsel. See, to understand this, understand like this. See, you sow a seed into the ground, right? That's the maximum that a farmer can do. Can he do anything beyond that? Right? Now who sprouts the thing? And who allows that fruit to spring up? Who allows it? Who makes it possible? It's Allah Pak's work. Nobody can do it. The scientist can't do it. Nobody can do it. His grandfather can't do it. Nobody can do it. It's Allah Ta'ala that caused that seed to sprout and that thing to spring out and for that fruit to come up. Right? It's Allah Pak's work. And we've seen with our eyes. Nobody can make it happen. Okay. So when we say Rabbi Nas, understand, if you identify with your parents, understand that Allah Ta'ala is the Rabb, is the nourisher of the entire universe. Whether it's the smallest germ in the earth, or whether it's an elephant on the surface, whether it's a whale in the sea, Allah Pak is providing. So much that he needs, you know, a couple of hundreds of kilos he needs every day. And in the middle of the sea, where there is no factory, there is no university, there is no school, there is no shop, there is no farm, there is no doctor, nothing available. But hundreds of kilos of food is being provided to that whale every day. Where it's coming from? Allah Pak is providing. Look at the Qudrat of Allah, see it, look at it, try and understand it. Right. Then you say, Malikin Nas, Rabbin Nas. Then you say, Malikin Nas. Now, the second phase of a youngster, right now he's come up, and he's a little bit strong, he can do things, he can stand on his feet. Then he thinks to himself, you know what? I take care of my father. It's me. It's not my me. Not me. He won't be able to manage things. The house I take care of, expenses I take care of, I do the things here. So now you don't recognize your father. Now you recognize your ability, your strength, and your might. Right? So Allah Pak says, Malikin Nas. If you think you are too big, the law must just say one thing. Gee, what happened to you? Bahadur se bahadur aadmi bilkul kamzor dheele par jaate. Doesn't happen. Allah must say one thing. Right? And you, as strong and as mighty as you are, you just collapse. So you know that there is a strong arm of the law. You know that. Right? All of us know. So Allah is telling you now, if you don't recognize your parents now, recognize the power and the law. Right? But now that you've seen the law and you recognize the law, right? Understand that I am the head of all the law. Malikul Amlak. I am the king of all kings. If he is the ruler, he is the power, he is the law, then I am supreme. I am above all of them. So identify with me. Identifying with him, identify with me. I am everything. The ruler, as mighty as he may be, but if death is decreed, can he avoid it? You see, he can be boastful, right? Super duper poor, power, right? I can do everything. America, so powerful I am. But Allah Pak decrees death for him. Can anybody stop it? Nobody can stop it. So Allah Pak says, I am the power. I am the might. I am the control. Recognize me. Malikin Nas. Now, when a person passes that second phase of his life, he comes on to the third phase of his life, he says, no, you know, I know how to manipulate the law. I can work out things, you know, manipulate the law, do things, grease the palm, do this and do other things. I can do a lot of things I can do, right? So he feels that he's above the law. So Allah Pak says, he reminds you, Malikin Nas, Ilahin Nas. If you think that you're above the law, you can manipulate, you can do things, remember I am Ilahun Nas. When I am Ilahun Nas, then I am supreme, I am above the law, right? I know what's inside you, I know what's outside you. I know your beginning, I know your end, right? See, I was there always, I will be always, right? I'm now, and I'm beyond death also. I'm now, I'm for you after death as well. So I'm the supreme being, and I'm Allah. I'm Allah, Allahu Ahad, I'm Allah. I was there, and the whole universe depends on me. When everything depends on me, right, then understand, recognize, I'm Ilah. You ask of me, you see to me, you look at me, you trust in me, you have your heart in me. Ilahin Nas. I am absolutely supreme. So you see, Allah Ta'ala talks to you at the level that you are. Rabbin Nas, Malikin Nas, Ilahin Nas. Right? Min sharril waswasil khannas. I just explained this now, what is the meaning of waswasil khannas, the evil of the whisperer that whispers and withdraws. Time is up now. At least we recite this. Alright. Min sharril waswasil khannas. Right. Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. Min sharril waswasil khannas. Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. Now you see this word nas in the surah is repeated 5 times. Rabbin nas, Malikin nas, Ilahin nas. Min sharril waswasil khannas. Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. Right. Min al jinnati wan nas. 5 times repeated. So 3 times I've explained, right? For the 3 annas, I've explained that. Now the 4th, min sharril waswasil khannasil ladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. Now this is to instruct the person that is coming onto the path of piety. As you jump on to the path of piety and you're treading, then shaitan will try and block you. How he'll block you? He'll try and confuse your mind with all type of stray thoughts. For a little bit of a pious person, say, no, your wuzu is not done. You know, pisab came out. Make your ruku, a came out. Sometimes he's pushing you backwards, sometimes forwards. Backwards, forwards. Hey, namaz huwa anyway. Pisab came out, a came out. Pisab came out, a came out. I know my namaz is made, not made. So what he'll do, he'll try and frustrate you. He'll break your morale. That's the work of shaitan. Why he wants to break your morale? That you will leave out namaz. Once you get frustrated, you get into a depression. And when you get into a depression, will you read namaz? Say, my, leave all these doubts, leave all that. Leave all that. Let me just go with conviction. I heard the sound, or I got the air. Right? I heard the sound, or I got the air. I felt, you know, I got the smell. Right? One of the two must happen. Either the sound, or the smell. One of the two must happen. If I didn't get the sound, and I didn't smell the thing, then I must just consider myself to be in the state of wuzu. I mustn't allow myself to become a victim of the shaitani whispers. See? You know, a lot of times we go into the whispers and all that, and then The more important things in life, that's left out. My man is so worried about his wuzu, but now he is robbing that person, cheating this person here, not being kind to his wife, extorting this person here, right? Doing all these stupid things, but not my wuzu. It would seem like he's got taqwa, he's got no taqwa. That's not taqwa. If that was taqwa, Sahaba Ikram would have been more concerned about these type of things. Wuzu is done, not done. Wuzu is done or not done. But as long as you didn't get the sound, as long as you didn't get the smell, just count yourself to be in the state of wuzu. Don't entertain these thoughts at all. It's not the gauge of piety. By the same token, again, I'll be talking of stray thoughts, whispers, etc., right? So this is also a problem in this day. Rasulullah Pak Sassan was in Etikaf, right? How many minutes? 10 minutes. Was in Etikaf, right? And Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha had come to visit Rasulullah Pak Sassan. So they may have been different entrances of the masjid. So she didn't mix up with men. Now don't think, hey, this place is filled up with all people in Etikaf, and she must have been going through the men and all that. So there must have been an entrance, and she goes straight to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, you have two, three entrances. One in the front, one in the back. So some entrance where she could come direct to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? So she came, she spoke to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for some time. And Nabi Sallam accompanied her to the entrance. He's in Etikaf, so he can't leave the masjid, but he's accompanying his respected wife to the entrance. But now everything of Nabi Sallam, it's a lesson. How he spoke, how he dealt with his wives, he showed them that time, that love, that compassion, everything. More, much more than what a man can do for his wife, he did for his wife. Kindness, the love, the affection, even to the extent of respecting the emotions, right? To the extent of respecting emotions. That was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You can see how magnificent he was. So anyway, one has come right to the entrance of the masjid to leave Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha as she is going home. Right? So as he came to the entrance, there's two Ansari Sahaba Kiram that are going across. So when they saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they start moving speedily. Because alright, you see a man and his wife. So you don't want to be there now. It's embarrassing now, he's with his wife and you're having a cool conversation with him. It creates some suspicion. Are you interested in his wife or interested in your friend? Why so casual? Doesn't it create a suspicion? So therefore, they try to move on. But now they saw Nabi Sallam with his respected family. So they felt shame and modesty requires that we should speed on, move on. Don't be there. See, this calamities that come, I've been thinking about it. So to give the summary, you know, the summary of what is the reason of the problems, I found three things. A lot of hadiths that I came across. I'm trying to summarize it. What are the main reasons? So one of the main reasons is indecency. Now, I was just talking about all these things happening. Algae and all that, right? So, one of the main reasons is indecency. Right? In the Bani Israel, Musa al-Islam is with the Bani Israel and they're out of home, right? So, they're all alone. Males going out in jihad with Musa al-Islam. And they're just conquering territory after territory. So the opposition understands that this man here, he is the man of Allah Ta'ala, and we can't take him on, we can't encounter him, because he's got divine assistance. When he's got divine assistance, then it will be impossible for us to take him on. Right? It's a divine intervention. How can we go against Allah Ta'ala? So what we can do is just delay that assistance. Somehow just try and jam the assistance. That's all we can do. We can't stop the assistance, but we can jam them so that they don't become eligible to the assistance of Allah Ta'ala. So they're planning it out, they're strategizing, how must we try and interrupt that assistance of Allah Ta'ala coming to them? So no, the main thing, most important thing is to create some indecency. This fellow out of home, it's already 2 years, but they're away from their wives, right? So now, the easy thing is, just let the woman lose, our woman, white looking, brown hair, young, all the makeup and all that, scantily dressed, and just let them lose. And we need to tell this woman that don't show any type of resistance. If they show a small little inclination towards you, don't you ever show any type of resistance. Just jump for it. Musa alayhi salam saw it now. He saw that this thing is going to happen. There's going to be a major problem here. And someone is getting tempted. So he warned, but don't do this, please. But in spite of Musa alayhi salam warning, that man got tempted and he did what he was not supposed to be doing. As a result, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib has got a hadith in his kitab. He says, 70,000 Bani Israel were killed because of this. An epidemic broke and 70,000 were died because of this. Now, what upsets me is, right, whoever is doing whatever, right, but they're just treating symptoms. Is there anybody that is treating the cause? Why, this is the cause, indecent behavior. So anybody is addressing that. They say, no, one person must be here, one person 1 meter apart, right? Some funny, stupid things they're doing. What, I don't know, where they got it from? Allah Pak knows, right? Someone says, no, first serve here, after there must be 5 serves, and then must be the second serve after that. I leave all these things there. What is the cause? Primary cause is this indecent behavior. Now what we are doing is we are treating the symptoms, and we left out the cause. A patient comes to a doctor. Doctor makes out he's got a heart problem. But he's only suppressing symptoms, or I take this aspirin, it'll be good for you. Understand? And then, when he does that, after 3-4 months, 5 months, he has a major attack. I ask you, won't you hold the doctor responsible? You knew I was going that way. You could have referred me to a cardio specialist. I could have taken the proper treatment, and I would have saved this, you know. But you tried to play with the symptoms, and you didn't address the main thing. The main thing was this thing here, right? So the main cause is this indecent behavior, and nobody's addressing it. You know, respect them, accommodate them, what type of stupid things are you talking about? Let there be mixed gatherings, photograph them, talk to the woman casually, mix up with them, the fiancé thing, no, they're already in the engagement, so they can talk. So all type of indecent behavior, we are not only allowing it, but we're condoning it, and we're encouraging it. And then we want to know, why is this happening to us? So you see, as a cause, it is Bani Israel, in one stroke, 70,000 people died, class. But the root of the cause was this indecent behavior. Anyway, now my time is up now. I'll just finish this hadith. It's also, it's related to min sharil waswasil khannas. So Nabi Sallam explains to the sahaba, just hold on. Allah rislikuma, just hold on. Hadihi Safiya. This is my respected wife, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha. So they turned around and said to Nabi Sallam, Ya Rasulullah, of all people, we cannot have any doubts about your personality. We can have doubts about everybody else, but not your personality. He says, Naam. Inna shaytana layajri minal insani majraddam. Yes, I have warned you, cautioned you, because shaitan runs in your system like blood. So he can inject some suspicion against me. And if you ever have a suspicion against your Rasul, your iman is gone. Khalas. So I had to clear the whole thing, so that you don't have any suspicion. But ulama explain here, she sees suspicion, doubts, shaitanic, right? It's whispers. So they say also here, under Afil Hadith, the lesson for us to learn is, we don't go to an area that can create suspicion. We don't behave, don't go to an area that can arouse suspicion, right? Like, I asked you, you want a Sprite, right? Will you go and buy it from the bar? Why? So now I'm going, my niyat is right. My niyat is only to buy that Sprite. Will you go and buy it from there? You know why? Because it's a place of suspicion. You say, wait, Hafiz, what were you doing there in the bar? So a place of suspicion also you will avoid. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulil Kareem. Wa alihi wa sahabihi ajma'in. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.